Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, superlative co-host, Mr. Joe is here, and on the other side.
Not who I was again, didn't
I? I remember. I just hate,
unfortunately,
to evoke the name.
I know you do.
It goes straight to your head. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. As promised, we have a guest in the studio. His name is David Rowe. He's from Lewisburg, born and raised in Lewisburg, homeschooled, if I'm right, right? So not a product of the public schools. Introduce yourself to our audience. Do your, I've heard this a couple of times in public settings, your introduction, please.
Sure.
David,
sure.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here, guys. Thank you for having me. So yes, raised in central Pennsylvania in Union County almost my entire life, excepting some years I spent overseas as an educator. I own a small business in Lewisburg. It's the CrossFit Gym on Route 15. We offer corporate wellness consulting, some other options as well, so there's some different arms to the business. I'm an employer. I've got 7 employees that are thankfully taking over for me so I can be here, so I can be out on the campaign trail. I've been a East Buffalo Township supervisor up until just a couple of weeks ago. I resigned from that because I thought that the people of the district definitely deserve to have a full-time candidate and a full-time representative. So I resigned from the East Buffalo Township Board. They picked my replacement, which I think they did an excellent job selecting. And I'm looking forward to meeting people across the district every day, getting to know people, getting to hear about the issues, and hoping to represent them in Harrisburg.
And this is an opportunity for voters to pick a candidate who doesn't have a political background, doesn't have, whether it's either you or Claire Moyer, the write-in, or Dr. Rager Kay, who is the Democratic candidate. You don't have any lifelong politicians here. You have somebody served elected office. You have that on your resume. So this is a rare opportunity.
Well, and Dr. Rager Kay was elected to the Selins Grove School Board, or nominated for the Selins Grove School Board.
Which, to my knowledge, she's still running for, correctly?
Right, I believe she is.
Right,
so
yeah, she's still involved
running for
in that.
Both part-time school director and part-time representative.
But unusual opportunity to elect folks to Harrisburg that just have very little political experience. Comment on that, if you would.
I think that's a great thing. I think that having career politicians enables them to lose touch with the issues facing the district. When we look at the issues facing the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I think the majority of them are financial-related ones. The governor has proposed a host of tax increases over the past couple of years. Thankfully, most of them were blocked by Republicans. You know, Jen, when she goes to Harrisburg, is inevitably going to join that tax-increasing crowd. A business person is who needs to be in Harrisburg, because if we ran the government like a business, we would be much better off. If we ran our businesses like we ran the government, we'd all be in jail or bankrupt. The debt levels are unsustainable. The tax increases are unsustainable. What we need is somebody who's willing to go to Harrisburg, make those tough decisions, promote economic growth, lasting, sustainable economic growth, promote policies that support family-sustaining jobs. Those are all things that I know how to do and I'm willing to do.
But Governor Wolf is a businessman.
Governor Wolf is a businessman, and I'm surprised he stayed in business this long with his policies.
Well, let's look at it from another viewpoint. You mentioned about career politicians. Who around here is a career politician? I mean, everybody that runs says, oh, I'm not a career politician. Fred Keller made that same argument you're making, and now he's a United States congressman, which if that doesn't qualify as a politician, I don't know what does in this world.
I think a lot of the proof is in the pudding. I think being able to stay involved with your community, which is something Fred Keller did very well.
True enough.
Fred Keller was always around anywhere. As a municipal leader, if I needed something, if I had a question on legislation coming up in Harrisburg, I could give Fred a call, send him him a text, and he would get back to me within the hour with all the information on the bills, you know, the pros and cons for municipalities. He remained connected to the people on every level, because being that representative was his objective, and his objective was to represent the people.
Well, you're talking about a special election, which we haven't had one around here on an off date for as long as I can remember. Can you, Mark?
I don't remember.
So what's the real challenge here? How motivated are people that you're seeing to go out and vote in this election?
The people I'm talking to are excited to vote for me, but you make an excellent point. Most of them are unaware that August 20th is going to be the big day. Most people are assuming that we will be filling the seat in November along with everything else. So the biggest challenge for me in this, you know, very heavily Republican district is just voter education. So I've been out almost every day, 6 days a week, knocking on doors, typically about 100 doors a day. That normally takes me 5 to 6 hours, depend on how much talking I get stuck doing. I've walked through most of Middleburg, all of Penns Creek, Beavertown, Beaver Springs, Kissimmee, Paxtonville, Troxville, Mifflinburg, and I'm looking forward to, you know, keep walking, keep talking to people. My objective is to listen to people. I think that's what a representative should do, should represent the interests, the concerns of the people in the district, and that's why I want to go and listen to them.
Sounds like you could use a new pair of shoes at some point.
I've already changed those twice.
Well, let me ask you this. How long will you serve for? I think a lot of people don't realize that. You'll fill out the rest of Fred Keller's unexpired term.
Yes, that is correct. So it's only until next year. So next May, the primary process starts over, the general election process starts over. So this is just the race to finish out Fred's term.
So it's not like they can vote for you. If they don't get to vote for you in August, they can come back and vote for you in November. So that won't happen. It will be next November.
It would be, right, it would be just over a year from today.
Okay.
Would you make State House a career if elected?
I would be willing to serve, as long as the people would have me. I think that elections are our opportunity for voters to vet their candidates, to select if their term is up. And so I'm happy to serve the people in whatever capacity they'll have me, as long as they'll have me.
One of the things that people dislike about Harrisburg is the division between Republican and Democrat. There's a lot of name-calling going back and forth. It's a lot like Washington, only on a smaller scale. You're quick to point out that to use the names is sort of the catch name liberal to describe your opponent, Jennifer Rager Kay. Tell me about this idea, as soon as she was selected, that she's the liberal Democrat, you know, before we even really knew what any of her positions were, you had that label ready to go. Is that not going to contribute to division, this idea that, you know, it's us versus them?
To a degree, it is us versus them, in the sense that liberal policies have proven to be so damaging to Pennsylvania's economy. When you compare the Pennsylvania tax climate to almost any other state, we are one of the most burdened states in the union. When you have the individual income tax, and then you combine the corporate income tax, you combine property taxes, you combine gas taxes, realty transfer taxes, impact fees, gas taxes, all of these things are liberal initiatives that have been pushed through that have been stifling the Pennsylvania
economy. Governor Corbett approved the last tax.
The tax increase, that is absolutely true, and Governor Wolf is pushing for another one.
Well, but let's face it, if Governor Corbett hadn't taken the lead along with our state representatives and state senators, we wouldn't have the Central Susquehanna Valley Thruway under construction today. So yes, it was a tax, but we are benefiting from that tax enormously.
There is a spending problem in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg specifically, where we are told time and time again that if we can just pass this extra tax, it'll be fine. What did they tell us about the casinos? How that would be the solution to property taxes? And I don't know, my property taxes haven't gone down. How about your guys's?
A dollar or two, I think. I think you get this little bonus. They send you a little certificate or something.
Yeah, they send you a couple bucks at the end of the year if you qualify.
So they tell us that these tax increases are necessary to take care of the infrastructure needs of the state, to fund the pensions, but the fact is that's just not true. When we look at the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that President Trump passed, it gave a $700 million windfall to the state of Pennsylvania. And it just goes to show that when you cut taxes, when you promote economic growth a sustainable way, that's how wages increase. You know, Bob Garrett was just here the other day, and he was talking about how wages are growing faster than the rate of inflation. Jen wants to jump to a $15 minimum wage, which has been statistically shown across the board to just stifle small business growth, to just make people lose jobs, unemployment will go up. She wants that. The flip side is President Trump's approach, which is to cut taxes and to enable businesses to thrive. That's how we drive wages up. That's what's sustainable.
Well, let's take a look back a minute to the gas tax. Actually, it wasn't a gas tax. It was taking the cap off the franchise oil franchise tax. And to do that, I mean, we've gotten this wonderful project. PennDOT has been able to do a lot of other things in Northumberland and all over the area, where in the past they used to say, well, we're cutting a lot of grass because we don't have money to do anything else. Would you not have voted, along with the rest of our representatives, to support the Governor Corbett's plan at the time?
I would not have voted to increase any tax without also a complementary budget cut of something that needed to be done. We look at the budget. There are so many things in that budget that could be addressed if it's corporate welfare, if it's overspending. I know Governor Corbett was a big advocate of cutting the state's vehicular fleet. All these sort of wasteful things that the state has gotten comfortable doing, and rather than making the hard decisions of cutting those expenditures, they just raise the taxes instead.
Well, we've been involved for quite a few years in trying to get the thruway, and it's always been sold as an economic development boost, and I think that's what it is. I mean, the people around here believe that once that's completed, the economy of the area will be exponentially increased. Isn't there such a thing as making an investment in enhanced economic growth down the road, even if it means spending more in tax money now?
Absolutely, but I don't think that the tax increase was necessary. If you look at, since we're talking about the gas tax, we are the only state, and this is something that the Democrats love to point out, that doesn't have a severance tax on the natural gas industry, but we are the only state with an impact fee. So now we want to levy the governor wants to levy that severance tax on the oil, the natural gas companies as well, and what's going to happen is those companies are going to be stifled. They are going to leave, they're going to close those wells, it's already started to happen, people are going to lose jobs, all that tax revenue will be lost. So when we talk about a short-term, you know, a tax increase for a long-term investment, the reality of the situation is more often than not that short-term increase leads to a long-term loss.
Okay, switching gears for just a moment, one of Representative Keller's big pushes was the ongoing problem with retirement benefits at the state, and he was appointed to the
Peace Corps. Pension crisis.
Pension crisis. Well, I was trying to find a polite way to say it.
It's a crisis. That's what, $66 million or something.
Well, but he had just been appointed to the Peace Corps board, which would have given him an opportunity to work on that. Where do you stand on that issue? What do you think needs to be done? Is it still a problem?
It's absolutely a problem. It's unsustainable as it stands. In East Buffalo Township, where I was a supervisor, the employees were shifted from a pension fund to a 401k match type system. Obviously, existing retirees were grandfathered in, existing employees were grandfathered in, but that enables us to, over the long term, make a much more sound fiscal projection. I've already committed to refusing the state-funded pension as a representative because I think representatives need to lead by example. And if you are not willing to lead by example, then perhaps you shouldn't be there. I think that applies to serving as a representative. I think that applies to taking the job seriously and committing a full-time workday to being the candidate so you can also be the representative. If you're not willing to lead by the example, you shouldn't be running.
Fred Keller wouldn't take any pay raises once he was elected, didn't take per diems, wouldn't take the mileage, wouldn't take the pension. Will you take mileage if elected?
I have not yet gone to HR to understand what all of the benefits are included in that. I don't want to commit to anything before I have a general sense. I've met with some district operations staff, and they've given me a rough overview of what happens after the election day, but I don't want to make any commitments, you know, other than refusing the pension, because I believe that is an unsustainable method. I think that's something that the government needs to move away from very aggressively if we are to have any sort of sustainable retirement fund.
So as for the mileage, you'll wait to hear what the offer is and the per diem. You'll hear what they're offering, and then you'll decide. But for the pension, that you will decline?
Absolutely. I think that representatives need to live just like the everyday working person needs to live. And that the pension that is offered is anything but that. It is a golden pension that is fully vested within 10 years, and that's something that is unheard of in the private industry and is should not be accepted by any legislator who wants to lead by example.
What about health care?
in regards to
The state health care plan, which I understand is a golden plan as well.
Again, that's not something I'm as familiar with. I haven't reviewed that yet.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have open phones. If folks wish to talk to David Rowe of Lewisburg, he's a candidate on the in the 85th District special election August 20th. He is a Republican and was selected through the conferee process that existed for Republicans and for Democrats in this particular set of counties that are involved in the 85th District. He is the candidate, he will stand for election on August 20th. If elected, he'll fill out Fred Keller's remaining term and will have to face election next year if he so chooses, if he's elected and if he wishes to run again next year. And no, he is not planning any term limits, so as long as folks in the district keep sending him back, he'll keep serving. So you're what? Well, you're clearly less than 30, so...
28.
20, okay. 25, okay. So you could be there for 30 years, so choose carefully, folks.
More than that.
Right. So, right. So choose carefully, folks. All right, we're going to take that break. If you have a question for him, email us at onthemark@wkok.com, text us at 70236, or call us 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We have a guest here, a political candidate, Republican in the 85th District, David Rowe. We got one email pending. Summarize that email and ask that,
basically,
please.
Basically, after you drop out the editorial comments, the writer wants to know why you are not going to participate with Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay at the Women's League of Voters Candidates Night.
Well, first of all, I never said I wasn't coming. That was just a bold-faced lie that my opponent stated when she was here before. I had stated that I was undecided. I have not committed one way or the other. I participated twice.
But the deadline has passed to sign up, in effect, not deciding decides.
Well, the deadline was preset by the league. The Shade Mountain event with the league, which I already participated in, did not have a participation deadline. The second event with the league does have a participation deadline, so it's somewhat arbitrarily imposed. I have submitted answers through the League of Women Voters Voters Guide. I have participated in the league's forum at Shade Mountain Winery, and now they would like me to participate in a third method of disseminating my positions, but they have not changed. So the WKOK, the Daily Items, recorded the event at Shade Mountain, and so anybody who's interested in hearing those positions can go ahead, listen to that recording. Anybody who wants to discuss the issues with me can reach out directly. But I've been spending all day, every day, out knocking on doors, hearing what the people have to say. My perspective, I understand that Jen's perspective is to educate voters in what's their best interest, as she said time and time again. And so that's why she wants to, you know, have every opportunity to talk at them. I've done enough talking at the voters. I want to hear from them because I believe representing them represents their interests.
Well, your write-in opponent on the Republican ballot is going to appear at this event. Does that worry you at all? I mean, is he going to draw votes away from you, do you think?
Well, here's the thing about Claire. Claire is a perennial candidate, and we have to remember that he also ran a write-in candidacy for president of the United States in 2012. So he runs fairly often. It's also worth noting that, as the Standard Journal just reported, his campaign manager, Chip Thacka, is a well-known local liberal activist. He used to drive around in a big truck that said "Screw Trump" on it. So these are the kind of people that are propping up Claire Moyer's campaign, and it really is disheartening to see the local Democrats taking advantage of this elderly war veteran just to prop up their own political advantage.
So he can't think for himself. Chip is sort of manipulating him.
They absolutely are. If you listen to some of their podcasts, there's absolutely a manipulation there, and they're just using him to try to siphon votes away. It's really disappointing.
And so. Chip, so citizens who get active and run for office are bad.
Not at all. But I think when we look at the people who are propping up his campaign, it's disappointing to see them being, you know, members that have formally supported Jen Rager Kay and presumably still are. And we just sort of see a political game being played with this well-intentioned gentleman.
Did you hear Claire on Sunrise?
I did.
Did you hear anything there that sounded like Chip was talking?
Oh, absolutely.
It sounded pretty Republican to me.
Well, Claire has said that he was in favor of the minimum wage increase, and there is nothing more liberal currently than the minimum wage increase.
An increase. It's been the same for, what, 10 years or something, not $15 an hour.
Well, wait a second.
Something reasonable.
Would you call him a cat's paw then? Just somebody who's out there trying to distract from you? I mean, you don't believe his candidacy is serious?
I believe he believes his candidacy is serious, but I believe that the Democrats are just utilizing that.
All right, to take votes away from the Republican, and that should help the Democrat.
Absolutely.
Chris, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
We're taking questions,
I'd like
Chris.
To know how refusing a pension works.
Okay, you heard your question.
Do you know?
I have a follow-up too, depending on what the answer is.
So, a lot of the finer details I'm not familiar with yet. I have not spent enough time in Harrisburg to understand that. But I believe, as it currently stands, the state offers a couple different plans. One is the previously offered unsustainable pension, fully funded pension, which is sort of the gold standard, which I have already committed to in writing to declining. I believe that the state also offers a 401k match type retirement option, but to my knowledge, those are the only options at the moment.
So, in other words, you have to be in one or the other. And therefore, we won't know whether you won't take a pension until after you retire and you're out of office, probably. And the ones that you are not deciding about the benefits are ones that you will be in office for, but you can't decide that without the details. It doesn't sound like you have the details on this one either, for that matter. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Want to comment on his remarks?
Yeah. Not at all. I haven't spent enough time in Harrisburg finding out the details of the compensation, because I've been more interested in trying to lay the groundwork of being a full-time legislator here, spending my time in the district, not in Harrisburg.
Well, you said you've been knocking on a lot of doors, and you were listening to people. What are they telling you? What issues in Harrisburg are the people that you're talking to concerned about?
Jobs and the economy. Overwhelmingly, it's jobs and the economy.
But the economy is doing well. Why are they concerned?
The economy is doing very well nationally, and that is why it is so disappointing that Pennsylvania continues to fall behind when it comes to job growth, wage increase, and those types of things. What we need to be doing on the state level is exactly what the president and Republicans did on the national level. It is proven to increase wages, to lower unemployment. When we look at the recent article that just came out saying, pointing out that Snyder County now has the highest unemployment rate in the state. Obviously, the Woodmoe closure plays a huge factor into that. What we need to be doing on the state level is what the president did on the federal level. Part of that also comes along with education, making sure that we are investing heavily in a robust, well-funded education system, and that includes education options across the board. That includes public schools, private schools, homeschools, trade schools, higher education for those that wish to pursue it. We need to be sure we are preparing our workers well for the private sector.
You said you don't approve of tax increases, but what if it was possible to have a fund, increase taxes, and create a fund that would help solve some of these problems like Woodmoe, that would be more aggressive in keeping businesses open and keeping people employed? I mean, now we're responding after the fact. It's closed. Everybody's running around trying to get something accomplished.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, my question is, what can we do before this all happens?
What we can do is we can make the Pennsylvania business environment more friendly. I mean, we have a hostile business environment with all the tax rates and the regulations and all the things that are chasing businesses out of Pennsylvania. Why would a business stay in Pennsylvania when they could go to Texas and save untold amounts of money on taxes and regulations? So the prevention is making Pennsylvania a business-friendly place.
Is the governor a socialist?
little column A, little column B. I mean, when you look at his policies that are more about raising taxes and their sort of wealth distribution, which is a phrase they like to use, it definitely seems like it.
Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, this community college idea, what's your view on that?
I think it's something that definitely needs to be explored. I've spent a lot of time talking with Bob Garrett of the General Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber.
Well, he's pushing the LCCC. That's not the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project.
Tell me the difference, then.
The Community Education Project, if I can summarize this correctly, is a local effort to get a local college started around here, to get local buy-in and in order to super serve local communities. LCC is another college someplace else that puts a satellite, like a franchise here, would take some money from local counties if they offer it and would lower tuition as a result for those local residents. But the idea of the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project is this completely local generated and autonomous school that pops up from this region.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely something I would have to look more into. I'm afraid it's not something I was aware of until now.
All right, you have a closing statement. We have a little bit less than a minute left. You can say whatever you wish.
No, let's go ahead. I'll wait.
Sure? Go ahead. I insist.
No, you ahead.
All right. Just a couple of things. When we look at some of the biggest issues facing us here.
40 seconds.
Great. I think that clearly the person that is most qualified to attend to the issues that the state is facing is a person who has managed a business, a person who has served his local community for years, and that person is me. You know, my opponent wants to see more taxes and more government regulations, and that's something that I am staunchly opposed to. Having been boots on the ground for a community age, a community server, and a municipal leader, I can speak to those needs that we are facing here.
Pretty darn good. You even had 5 seconds left over. CrossFit owner David Rowe here, Lewisburg resident businessman. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me here.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News, time 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. And the person who would be most likely to call me subpar is my wonderful co-host. He's superlative in every way.
I believe you are definitely above par, maybe by 10 or 12 strokes.
I've had a few strokes. Okay, I get it. Okay, well, welcome aboard, everybody. We appreciate that. We've received emails and we glossed over them so that we could ask them quickly. But now that time permits, we're going to ask them in their entirety.
Well, actually, a lot of them were editorial comments more than questions.
That's what the whole show's for.
Right.
So once we don't have this rarefied, concentrated time where we have to keep the candidate to his 25 minutes of open mic, we can read the emails because these comments are important. So let's do news headlines. And we're launching the emails on the Mark sponsor, but the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. That's Text Connect. You simply sign up at wkok.com. We send you no more than a dozen messages a month, and we keep you informed about breaking national news, local news, dead celebrities, opportunities to avoid closed roads or avoid tornadic weather here, or take cover, I guess, would be one thing that we've encouraged people to do because of tornado warnings. So that's what Text Connect does. It's a great way to stay connected to breaking news. 70236 is the number to reach back to us if you've signed up for Text Connect. Some brief news headlines here. All of these stories have more about them posted at WKOK.com. First, the Montour Preserve could close next year. They only have enough money for one more year. Montour Area Recreation Commission will decide the fate of Montour Preserve in the coming years. Bad news for boaters on Lake Augusta. Dam gone down on September 3rd. That's less than a month from now, and that's more than a month early. Emergency repairs necessary, says the DCNR Secretary Cindy Dunn. Will your county kick in $100,000 for the new campus of Luzerne County, a new campus of the Luzerne County Community College? And that's the question. The Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce is asking local counties lately.
The Union County Commissioners were keenly interested in what I had to say. I think, like the other boards of commissioners I've spoken with, they're waiting to hear what the other counties have to say.
Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce asking counties to kick in $100,000 so that tuition will go down at the LCCC campus in Watsontown. Some counties have given him a definite maybe. And a Texas Roman Catholic Archbishop posted tweets critical of President Trump recently, only to later delete them. The San Antonio Express News reports that San Antonio Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller used his personal Twitter account late Monday to demand that Trump stop racism, starting with yourself. The prelate called Trump poor, weak, and accused him of causing too much damage already and destroying lives. He added, stop, 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 please, please, please. It sounds like the president's tweets. The postings were deleted by yesterday morning. Later, in English and Spanish, he tweeted that he regretted his remarks and they were not focused on the issues at hand, but rather on an individual. The tweets came after a mass shooting in El Paso that killed 22 people. The suspected gunman had adopted Trump's anti-immigrant rhetoric in his social media postings. Of course, President Trump has had a major pivot point in his life, turned a new leaf, and is no longer a racist, and is now looking for unity and solutions. He said so in a speech that someone else wrote for him the other day.
And the shooter in Ohio turns out to have been
a Democrat, right?
A Democrat and an Elizabeth Warren supporter.
Yeah, tell me more about this. This is not being covered too much.
Well, you know, he obviously is insane, so that's his political party is irrelevant. I just think it's interesting that the media is focusing on the one where it fits the narrative that they like, that President Trump causes this by his rhetoric, and they're ignoring the one that doesn't quite fit that same, well, I won't say ignoring, but they're downplaying the other one. The fact is, both these guys are terrible, terrible people, and none of this should have ever happened. I think instead of pointing fingers, we need to solve the problem somehow.
But you say there's an equivalency here. So, of course, we know the president is said to...
Well, you want to blame Elizabeth Warren for the fact that guy shot up?
I'm going to turn it into a question, if you let me finish.
Okay.
It is said that the president instigates individuals, or emboldens them, I think is the word we often use about that, and half the country says it's true, half says it is not true. You and I are divided on that topic. Does Elizabeth Warren do that? Does she use her fan base of close supporters and encourage people to be racist or to look at the most negative aspects of people that we categorize as opponents?
She does that too? I don't think she's encouraging people to be racist, and I'm not certain that I think the same of President Trump either. I think his words are often ill-advised and ill-informed, but people keep saying, well, he said that the Mexicans were rapists and what was the other thing? Murderers and rapists. Well, he wasn't talking about Mexicans generally. He was talking about illegal immigrants, you know, who happened to be from South America. So the left likes to take that and say, well, he says all Mexicans are murderers and rapists.
That's what he said.
No, he said he was talking about illegal immigrants.
Okay.
People come across the border illegally.
It's funny how different people hear things differently.
Well, I'm just telling you what the context in which I understood he said it. Whether you want to take it that way or you don't is immaterial. I agree with some of his rhetoric might make people feel that it's okay to be a little less than tolerant of others. I'm not going to argue that point with you. I think I've told you before, I think the guy would be a much better president if he shut his mouth from time to time.
And just lit.
Including this morning. The other day, he makes this wonderful speech. I thought it was a very good speech, even though you say it was written by somebody else. He talked about the need to come together, you know, to stop the political caustic or what did he use? Toxic political rhetoric. And then Beto O'Rourke promptly comes out of the box and says a few things about him. He shouldn't go to San Antonio, or he shouldn't go down there, shouldn't do anything, shouldn't speak.
Right, having instigated it, he shouldn't go there.
Right. And the president fired back at him, you know, and told him he should keep his mouth shut or keep quiet. So the president broke his own vow. If he had just let it roll off his back, go down there, be presidential, talk to the people who are adversely impacted by this, the families, the first responders.
Well, he can't be somebody who isn't. He just shouldn't go. He's not that person you're describing. He isn't presidential. He's not compassionate or caring about individuals.
He shouldn't go. Well, he's not compassionate. He doesn't care. Okay.
Well, he may care a little bit. I don't think he's inhuman. I just think it's obvious to him that he knows that he's implicit in these kind of crimes that happen.
On Morning Joe this morning, they said he was absolutely incapable of expressing empathy. I don't buy that. I think he's empathetic. I sometimes think he doesn't care.
Well, when he's on his meds, he does okay. But I don't. I think in the middle of the night, you know,
one could say the same about you.
Well, yeah, right. I'm very outspoken about my important topics. I'm a little bit bigger on the love, less on the hate, though. As long as we're drawing that line.
Are you okay?
Yes,
so I'm big on the hate and less on the love. Is that your opinion?
No, I don't think. Let me, Joe hates dot dot dot.
I don't hate anybody.
I was just going to say I can't think of who.
Have you ever heard me say I hate this or I hate that or this is so terrible?
You have no sworn enemies.
Well, mass murderers are people who take other people's lives. You know, I'm the kind of guy, I put the brake on if I see a squirrel in the middle of the road. Although I was taught in driver training, you don't do that. You run over the squirrel.
Oh,
you don't.
Oh, geez. A lot of squirrels are grateful. That word never really fully took. All right. Well, we do have emails, none that relate to the topic that Joe and I sprung out onto, but we do have completely open phones, and it's an open day. We had David Rowe here earlier, and we have some emails that relate to his comments, so we can talk about those. If you wish to join this discussion, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. If you're talking about the president or Beto O'Rourke or I don't know the name of the Ohio killer, but that's all right. I don't want them to have
we
any fame.
We don't want to. I think that's right. The one good thing the media's done. They're not publicizing the names of either of these guys.
Okay, so if you wish to talk about that and the political division that's popped up, apparently the fellow in Dayton had at least some interest in following
Elizabeth Warren.
So that's...
That doesn't make her responsible for his actions.
No, not in the way the president is responsible for the Texas shooting.
Oh,
go
on.
Ahead, read the email.
You're not going to slough me off like that. All right, EB, this is EB's question. Mr. Rao answered it. We just didn't phrase it the way EB wrote it. He said, if Mr. Rao is so committed to serving the people of this district, why was he too afraid to debate Jennifer Rager Kay at the Women's League of Voters Candidates Night? If he can't be bothered to do something simple like that, which would have allowed citizens to learn more about his ideas, why should we think he'll be any more motivated in office? Maybe he knows his ideas are inferior to hers and didn't want to be publicly exposed. EB, let's be fair about this. He reached more people here today explaining his views and answering our questions than he would at 10 League of Women Voters events. You know, and he has participated in what did he say, two or three other?
Well, he was at the coffee function, and he's called On the Mark, or well, originally called Sunrise the day he was nominated. Oh, no, I think he announced his candidacy on Sunrise, and then, well, in any event, he's been in some public forums. I mean, he's kind of out there a little bit. He's just not at widespread public forums where everybody can go.
Well, what he's saying is that he's knocking on doors, talking to people to find out how they feel. That's why I pursued that line of questioning with him. Another fellow says, whoops, you just took it off.
No, that was a question for us.
Term limits are the only way we will ever have good government, as an incumbent has too many advantages as they serve term after term. Just look at what we have at every level, federal, state, and local, as many of our elected officials in both parties. Term limits might get us better representation. That's possible. They certainly would change the representation we get. And if we get a good person, it would throw them out of office at a predetermined time. But on the other hand, if we got a bad person, it would do the same thing.
Well, and who's a bad person? It's kind of in the eye of the
beholder. A bad representative. Someone that we disagree with.
We've had long-term representatives in, Russ Fairchild was 20-some years. Merle Phillips was 30-some years. Bob Belfonte, 30-some years. So... were they bad representatives? You know, some people didn't like what Merle did.
They weren't all the same party, but they were good men.
Some people didn't like what Bob Belfonte did or fought for or argued. Or, some people didn't like what Russ Fairchild did. Probably. I can't imagine who, but it's possible. Okay, so we were occasionally. Anybody could be on the other side of Russ's good views. So, all right, so yeah, term limits. Yeah, this fellow that's here, he's no Fred Keller. So folks in the 85th District, if he gets elected, are going to have to realize they got a fellow that is going to probably take the pension as soon as he finds out how much they're offering, and then is going...
Well, he actually said he wouldn't take the pension, Mark.
Oh. Oh, that's true. He doesn't know how he's going to decline it yet. Yeah, he's going to hear what they have to say about the per diems and the other aspect, the mileage and so on, and then decide.
I know that was a big thing with Fred, and it was serious with Fred. He meant it, but
pay raises, too.
Well, the job is what the job is. It's like saying, I'm going to take a job, and I'm going to do it, but I'm never going to get any better at it. I'm never going to, make any more money at it. Would you take a job under those circumstances? If I said, Mark, I'll hire you today at $50 an hour, but I'm never going to give you any more.
I disagree with Fred Keller on a few things, but the way he served in terms of compensation was quintessential. That is how I would serve, declining the pension, taking the opportunity to serve people in the office, not to enrich myself or just going there for the money. The salary is above satisfactory for state house members, much higher than it is for the average worker around here. And as a result, you don't need all those other perks, mileage. These are the people sending you there to do their work, so you don't have to ingratiate yourself with all the perks that the generations of leaders in Harrisburg have doled out.
Well, let's face it. You know, you talk about term limits, we might get better people. But I think that the jobs, and I think, first of all, I think there should be fewer state representatives and fewer state senators. But once you determine what the value of the job is, I think that's what it should pay. If I want to attract competent people, I need to pay some kind of salary, at least commensurate with what they could get in the private sector. Otherwise, what's their incentive to run? In other words, I still have a family to feed. Fred Keller still has a family to feed. I don't know whether Mr. Rowell is married or not, but, you have obligations, and that costs you a certain amount of money to do the job. I know you spend money out of your own pocket doing your job. I did here when I worked here, too. But, at some point, I didn't turn down raises. I didn't turn down, insurance benefits or other things because...
There's a slight difference, though, if it's public money, because it's taxpayers' money. You're beholden to them. You're responsible to them. So that's a slight difference. If you have a private operation, a family-owned business, and they say, we made X number of dollars last year, so we would like to offer you an X percentage raise this year, I think that's much, much different than you going to Harrisburg saying, I'm going to do the same job this year I did last year, but I'm going to demand more money and per
diems. Not demanding it. I mean, if there's legislation that says you get a cost of living adjustment, would you support that for yourself and for other workers? And how could you possibly justify not supporting it then for other people who do the people's business?
We'll take this up after our caller. Cindy, last caller before a quick break. You're on the mark.
My expectation about term limits is how it would upend the processes that are in place in government that I don't think people understand. The longer someone stays as an elected official, they accrue power in the House or the Senate, either in the state or the federal level. And that power, as it accrues to them, affords them privileges that most of the people there don't have, and certainly the citizens don't have. Now, if you can't be there and accrue seniority because you're only going to be there 10 years, or whatever limits we might set, that upends that whole game. You won't have people that have all this power, which they use or abuse indiscriminately. It'll be torn away. And I think that's the biggest reason that they oppose term limits, most elected officials, it'll upend this secret game.
But don't you think it benefits the people to have somebody in power who has been there for a long time, has seniority, and can accomplish more for the people they represent?
Only if you believe the government should disproportionately reward you. I mean, why should one... We all pay taxes equally. Can we agree?
Yep.
I mean, in general, the people in Pennsylvania pay taxes just like the people in New York, et cetera, et cetera, on the federal level, for example. So why then should one state get way more money based on the weight of the longevity of their senators and or House representatives? That's ridiculous. There's no equity in this at all. We're all paying in, but some of us, only because our legislators been there longer, get way more money into their coffers of their states and communities than other ones. That's unjust.
So you're
That's
saying...
That's not even democratic. That's obscene.
You're saying fairness is better than a pure longevity reward?
I think that it should... If we're going to do this, doling out this money, it should be done equitably. The length of the time that your senator or congressman has been there should be irrelevant. This only perverts the Democrat, This only perverts the democracy that people like to think we have.
Right.
It only empowers a handful of people to rule over all of us and abuse it. And it isn't a new thing. They've been doing this for, you know, decades, if not centuries. And it's wrong to be doing this. It's wrong that, for example, across the river gets, and I don't know this is true, but that some other community in Pennsylvania, only because their legislator's been there longer than Fred Keller was, for example, they get way more money. That's wrong. That's wrong to
All right.
do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. Open lines. Pending email.
I would have asked her one additional question. You're saying longevity shouldn't count for anything? In other words, the experience you gain, the ability you get from learning on the job, from having been there and participated, that's not worth anything?
Well, if longevity brings unfairness, then it's not ideal. But if longevity were to strengthen the fairness or somehow strengthen the equality that all the taxpayers should enjoy equally, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, somebody has to be the chairman of this and that and, you know, be the pro tems and all that sort of thing, and longevity is one way to do that. But Cindy's point has nothing to do with years. It has everything to do with being fair to people, saying, well, okay, Merle Phillips was here 30 years, so you get a fiber dam and a marina and an overlook and all this other stuff, and you have a newly elected state representative, you might get a small park in your downtown, but maybe not. You know, maybe we won't give you the money because you haven't been there long enough. Let's take the break. We have an email related to David Rowe's visit and
couple on shootings.
Right, a couple that relate to yesterday's program that had a focus on the mass murders that occurred in our country. 1-800-795-9565, the open line, on the mark at WKOK.com, the email address.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We have, in relation to David Rowe's visit and the talk about term limits.
Right. Dick says, term limits are the only way we will ever have good government. As an incumbent has to... Oh, we read this.
Oh, did we? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm
and
sorry.
I called
we
it
did.
Back up because I was...
Sorry about that.
Okay.
All right. And another writer.
Caller.
No, that's all right. Go on to Bobby D. Bob, you're on the mark.
I'm trying to lump subjects.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. As far as the longevity, and I'm going to agree with Joe, you know, longevity does count no matter what field you're in, because, you know, the more and the longer you've been in that field, you know, whether it's politics or fixing cars or engineering or whatever, the experience is the best teacher. And then when new people come in, that older person that's been there longer can actually relate to the younger people in the experience at the job.
Well,
so, I mean, so I agree. I mean, you know, maybe term limits are one thing, but the thing is, who knows how to do a job more, somebody who's been on it for 10 years or somebody who's been just entering the field with 2 years' experience?
Right. I kind of agree with you, Bobby. I think that's true. I think longevity and experience would definitely help an individual to be more effective and maybe more efficient and maybe to do more in office and maybe to even super serve their constituents more than somebody else. But what Cindy and I are trying to point out is that individuals use longevity to bring a disproportionate amount of attention and funding and grants and projects to their area. You know, one of the things you often heard about Merle Phillips was, yes, he's our great state representative. He's been there 30 years. He brings us all kinds of money. If you need something and it's appropriate and it can be funded and there's, you know, a funding stream for it, he can make sure that you get it. Well, that is unfair for the working class dogs in Center County who have a freshman state representative who, you know, doesn't know the ropes yet and doesn't have any seniority and doesn't have the ability to say, well, I've been here for so long. So that's all. I don't care if somebody stays in Harrisburg 100 years, as long as they're always fair, as long as the system's always fair in doling out money.
Gee, is life always fair, Mark?
No, but we can strive for fairness.
No, but as far, you know, but as far as okay, like the population in the area has, you know, your people move in and out, so the population overall for the legislative districts has changed. So I agree with that part of it, that the people that live in the smaller areas should be equally represented.
All right, we got you. Thank you. Yeah, that's what
I said. Thank you.
I think we agree on that. All right, we got one line ringing, one line standing by. We got an email that relates to shootings, so we may be at that point where state house type topics have come to pass. There's no way to find out until we ask Than. Good morning, Than. What is on your mind?
Hi, good morning. That was an interesting interview you had today with David Rao. I live in East Buffalo Township. It's a very well done township as far as I can tell, forward looking and so forth, having a bit of a dust up with Lewisburg right now, but those things can be resolved. My problem with David Rao is the same thing with Fred, that why, Joe, when you make your doctor's appointment, do you call Sunbury Motors and say, would you set me up for a grease job? No, you go to a doctor who's trained. And it seems to me, I don't know David Rao, except it sounds like he was rather unable to answer a lot of your questions that he should have known. For instance, about the college situation. And he should have studied a lot more of other things. My guess is that David Rao probably goes out into this wonderful area, which is true, very, very Republican, and he hears Republican views. Well, I'm one of those dangerous liberals who feels that maybe our grandmothers sometimes come before our 401k. I sometimes believe it might be good to have health care for the American people. I think a lot of things that apparently David says, I don't care what it is, I won't spend money on it. I am not going to be voting for him.
Well, and David Rao has, his positions are 100% clear. He is definitely part of what I can observe as the division in Harrisburg. He notes that the socialist governor and the liberal Democrats that are running things don't have as good ideas or as good of plans as the conservative Republicans, you know, as somehow they're more American or somehow they're better than us. And that's, I hate to hear that from anybody. Joe?
I do too, because, you know, he may, for some reason, have fallen for this Donald Trump trope that says that we liberals are trying to take over the country. Those people, and even you, Mark and Joe, don't know what the word socialism means. If you did, you'd already know we're a socialist democracy. Who built the roads out in front of your house, Joe? It wasn't you. Who built the police force in Pennsylvania?
The comrades from PennDOT.
Sound like Barack Obama there. It wasn't you built that business. Everybody else built it for you.
Yeah, and you never picked up on what that really means, and that shows me that you didn't really hear what he said.
Oh, I heard what he said, all right.
What he said was...
What he said was,
already,
we didn't do it.
You argue we're not a
just like
in
what
country?
Just like when he said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan.
Lie. One lie against 10,000. I'll take the one with one lie. And besides, it wasn't a lie. It was you guys stopping him from doing what he was doing. But, Joe, you really believe socialism is not in this country?
There are socialist elements. We have a thing called Social Security.
We have roads. We have police. We have an army.
But we're not socialist in terms that the government controls all the means of production, which is the classic example.
That's not socialism, Joe. Now, you have studied enough to know that.
It
is
indeed.
You're making this up.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Okay. Hey, all right. Listen, there's some people are not educable because they don't want to be. Is that possible?
Yes, then. That's it. The rest of us are just stupid, and you are this true source of enlightenment. God bless you.
I love where you go every time, Joe.
Well, you're with
there. So you want to let a drug dealer out? Well, let's send everybody out of jail and let them run free.
Open borders, too, don't
forget. Things are not done in these shotgun ways. They're done with nuance. And you don't sound like you have much nuance left.
All right. Thank you, Than.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think Dave Rao had much chance of getting your vote on any particular day.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't guarantee that.
I agree.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you so much, buddy.
Much.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. Lance is on the mark. Thanks for calling in, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, I was never so glad to hear someone call in as I was just for your previous caller. I'll tell you, I probably disagreed with everything he said, but the fact he was able to say it and physically able to say it was just wonderful. Okay. Now, insofar as the term limits are concerned, our forebears figured that if a person got reelected time after time after time, they must be doing a good job. They trusted the voters back home to qualify the legislators as to their competency. And that was the whole idea behind all this.
Not really, Lance. And the original idea was that serving would be a sacrifice you made, not a lifelong career. And the way it was envisioned was you would go there, you would take up responsibility for a year or two, and then go home and let someone else take over. It wasn't that you'd have a staff of 50, a chief of staff, and, you know, be there for 35 or 40 years. That wasn't at all what our founding fathers envisioned.
Well, it's the way it worked out there.
You're right. It's the way it worked out.
Merle Phillips, what he said about it was, it's really true. You have a chance to term limit every 2 years.
And that's
all you're giving the guy is 2 years.
But the counter argument to that is that, you know, incumbents have tremendous advantages when it comes to running for reelection over people who challenge them. And I think you would agree with me on that.
Well, yeah, I do. I do. But you understand what I'm talking about, though, that what you're looking for was qualified individuals that, you know, got that way because of their performance.
Yeah, I have no problem with it, but let's take a look at the last congressman we had, Congressman Marino. There were a lot of people who just didn't like him, but he was in such a heavily Republican district that it didn't make much difference.
We should also note that he had a self-imposed term limit of 12 years.
Right, so, which he was going to take care of, you know, at some point.
Until he found a better job.
Well, I'm just saying that congressmen have a tendency to get reelected. What is it, 97% of them get reelected?
Oh, I don't know. All of them
who
want to.
Huge number get reelected. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. And in many ways, I thought Congressman Marino did a good job. But a lot of people didn't feel that way, including the guy who just went rumpf in the background.
All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Appreciate the call. Who is next? Chris, you're on the mark. Last caller before a quickie break. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, I hope I made my point about how what a cheap and unconfirmable problem is not taking your pension, whether you can even not take it. And if you give it to, some people say they give it to charity where they get the tax benefit, of course, and it doesn't save the taxpayers any money, so what does it matter? I mean, it's not an easy thing, but I just was amazed how the things that you could verify whether he was doing while he was in office, he was going to think about longer because he didn't understand them. But then he didn't quite understand the pension plans either, or how to refuse it. So, and it's a completely unverifiable promise whether he keeps that promise. There's no legal binding to it.
Well, if they require you to contribute some of your salary towards your retirement and you decline to do that, aren't you, in effect, rejecting it, Chris?
It's not all. In most civil service jobs, government jobs, you don't have the choice of
getting out of the pension. Now, I don't know for sure how the state and particularly the senators worked. That's why I asked the question what he knew about it first, and he obviously didn't know either. And even so, there might be a buy-in that, that if you haven't been in it and you just change your mind, you just pay all the back things you owed and you're in again.
Right.
So, again, an unverifiable, meaningless promise.
Yeah.
And I would like one of these Republicans who complain about the spending problem all the time. Well, if you can't cut the spending down to the tax level, then maybe we should raise the taxes up to the spending level if they want to run it like a business. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
That would seem to be logical. I'll agree with you.
And I guess you agree now that that there are no socialists in the Democratic Party because none of them are demanding we own all the means of production. If you stick with one definition, that's yours. Stick with it. If you disagree with fans or anything that's kind of a socialist distribution program safety net, then it's socialism. Well, you can't have it both ways. You've got to go one or the other, Joe.
I think they've identified themselves as democratic socialists, and
I think
that's a new kind of socialism.
Yeah, but that's not the same necessarily as socialist, is it?
Well, it's the same thing that they've created. They have their view of what democratic socialism means, and I think that's defined by...
Yeah, which isn't the means of production, so they aren't socialists by your definition.
Not in the true and ultimate sense of socialism,
true and ultimate sense. All right. So they are not.
They are socialists, but not, they are democratic socialists.
They're democratic socialists, which isn't socialism by your definition.
Well, I'll make it part of my definition if that makes you happier.
I knew you could come up with a new definition to make you yourself right.
All right, Chris, last comment
like
on
you
this.
Never forget a Republican misleading point with your argument with Dan and what Obama said. You did another one of those the other day with religion. Read that in context. I did on the air once, and you seem to agree that it really didn't sound that bad when put in context.
All right, we got you.
But keep repeating the point.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Just as so many liberals do with the president calling Mexicans rapists and murderers when he was referring to illegal immigrants.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. Good music.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. Mark Lawrence is our distinguished co-host. We have three calls pending, several emails. We're going to get started with Cindy, who gets a minute of fame in addition to the minute she already had.
A minute of, yeah.
How did you do that?
First, I want to say to all my fellow citizens, here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, you can use an open records request to contact the Department of, the Commonwealth, and ask them any state employee's pension, and they will answer that question. They have to by law. So that's one way you could easily find out. But number two, they have a database online, and I go there. You can go right there and look it up, and it'll tell you the pension of any or the salary of anybody, and by that you can derive their pension. So that's number one. Number two, over the weekend my son called me. He lives in Mifflinburg, and he was amazed and impressed by the fact that Mr. Rao, it turns out, came and knocked on his door seeking his vote. And knew his name and was just incredibly impressed by the gentleman. So I commend him for doing door-to-door campaigning, and he's obviously making a positive impression that way, reaching right out to the constituents and shaking their hand. I should have done that when I ran for the board. Thanks, gentlemen.
That's the way, most effective way of campaigning. No argument there.
Read that email.
All right, Mike Bolig says, FYI, I've met and spoke with Dave Rao and found him to be very impressive.
Roe,
I'm sorry. Well, to me it's Rao, but Roe is fine. If that's the way he says it, he's entitled to his opinion.
Anyway, start
David
over.
Rowe.
Start over.
All right. I've met and spoke with David Rao and found him very impressive, very motivated, and not some old guy. Watch yourself there, Bully. Many younger voters have looked for a younger candidate and now finally have one. He's fundamentally conservative and very personable. He's got my vote.
All righty. And that takes us back to the phones to Dan. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great
Delete.
Program
Delete.
Again today. Why, if I read Dan right, And some of the callers, like Dan, they believe that Trump came out and all of us, group of us, deplorables, decided, hey, that's our man. This is not the case. For many years, people like, they call it deplorables. We've been sitting back watching one election after another. Democrat coming in, doing nothing. Republican coming in, doing nothing. For the silent majority, we waited for years. And personally, gentlemen, I didn't think anyone was going to come out and represent me. I'll be honest, when Trump came out, I started to hear what he was saying, and I knew that was the man I was looking for years. And that's why we go along with Trump. It's not because he awakened us. I think we awakened him, and he knew there was many people out here like us that needed a leader, and we never had one. I haven't seen anybody I was greatly impressed with since Barry Goldwater in 1964. We had other people try to come up through, like Pat Buchanan and a few like that that never got too far. But then when Trump came up, we knew he represented us. So it's just the opposite of what these people been saying. He follows us. We don't follow him. If he goes off tune, he'll lose the silent majority as quick as a wink. So, and by the way, Trump, you talk about taking salary. Trump don't take anything, no salary, no anything. What salary he gets, he donates to veterans groups, etc., his favorite charities.
Have you ever heard of Ronald Reagan, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, but he was, yeah, I voted for him, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, when he was in high school.
Yeah, but he was a great leader, but the second term I wasn't impressed with, but the first one went pretty well.
Okay.
And many of us silent majority people voted for Reagan, you know. But I called Trump Reagan on steroids.
Yeah.
And Reagan couldn't fight back in the media like Trump does. Trump's a punch him right back. You can't get along with him. So all you can do is punch him back, and that's impressed. It's not the way it should be, Joe, but that's the way reality is.
Well, I would disagree with you. I think President Reagan was the most effective communicator we ever had as a president of the United States, short of Abraham Lincoln.
And he didn't have that in your face like Trump does, but how well did that work for Reagan?
He ended the Cold War. I don't think President Trump's done anything that significant so far.
The Cold War is not ended, Joe. China, that's our new Cold War. And if you hear the Democrats, the Russians are about ready to take over. In fact, they're running the White House right now.
No. President Obama told us the Russians are not a threat.
Right,
no,
you're right. He said that. But
right
after Trump got elected, all of a sudden, they took over the whole White House. And they were down at New Berlin when I voted. They forced me to vote for President Trump.
All right.
You know that, don't you, Joe?
Yeah,
we got to stop you, Dan.
Okay, you guys have a great one.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry you guys don't get to fight among yourselves. Dale, stand by again. Hold on.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, great music from a great producer, Mr. Rob Center. We appreciate that. Read the email, and then we're off to Dale.
Okay, Mike says, I agree with Cindy on the issue of unfairness with term limits. We have a good local example of a state senator who has held office for many years. When the 2019 state budget was passed, he was able to secure a $1 million grant for a renovation at a technical school in his district. That same advantage wasn't afforded to the SunTech school, where there was a renovation there. The local taxpayers needed to fully fund the Sun renovation.
Excellent point. Amen. That's it entirely. So good email. Dale, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I just wanted a question. Does anybody know if there's a state corporate tax, or are we just working off the federal corporate tax?
There is. The state has a corporate net income tax,
right?
9% or something.
One of the highest in the United States of America.
It's a biggie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yipper.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's only fair because all the roads didn't get repaired and all like that. I mean, I think they caused most of the damage. But
I don't think it funds PennDOT.
I don't think it funds PennDOT.
It goes into the general fund.
Okay. Yeah, well, Joe was talking about reducing the size of legislation. Well, Pennsylvania's raking in all this money. If we reduce it, who's going to spend the money?
Excellent.
That's the problem. So the whole thing is... You know, if they don't spend that money, they don't get the same thing next year. So they can't lower the legislature. They need more spenders. So I think that's... And I think another thing we should do is start subbing out the contract for PennDOT, since PennDOT, does a lousy job. I think we should break PennDOT up, because...
Don't they do that? Don't they have like a private bridge program?
Many of the things that PennDOT performs are based on contracts awarded.
Third party, Joe. I mean, get them out of it.
Oh, get the PennDOT. Totally. The money goes directly from the state.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, the money does go. The money does go. The money does
bypass PennDOT altogether.
But you can't do that. Somebody has to determine.
You can.
So who determines then what projects are necessary? Who determines what projects are going to be done or are needed if PennDOT doesn't do it?
Thank you so much, Dale. I'm sorry that I have to cut you off there. We do have to get back on schedule, but excellent point. Yeah, bypass PennDOT altogether, go directly
Not
to the...
Not an excellent point, bad point.
Go directly to the Rapid Bridge
Read
Intervention
the commercial, so something we can agree
program.
On.
Hey, the Sunbury Motor Company, we fully agree that they are the sponsor of the show. They have two locations, the family-owned dealership on 4th Street in Sunbury and the new Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 Hummels Wharf. Well, it's been there about 13 years, but it's new to me. You can find out more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I do. Go to the Kia dealership. Talk to Ernie in Austin about the new Telluride, which got a 90 out of 100 point from Consumer Reports. This is the perfect vehicle. Can be all-wheel drive. Very roomy, sturdy, reliable, you name it. And that's just one of the vehicles they got there. They can also hook you up with a Hyundai, a Kia, or a Lincoln, or a Ford, and you will be very glad that you shopped at the Sunbury Motor Company. You'll get the proper amount of money for your trade. You'll get the proper amount of money that you have to pay for the new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, and you'll be another happy motorist who's tooling around and saying, the Sunbury Motor Company takes fabulous care of me. Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. Joe, we'll see you tomorrow. We have some emails that relate to the president. And
we didn't get to, yes.
Topic, so we'll get to those, and we'll invite everybody to call us again during open phones. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time. It is 10 a.m. time for the Dan Patrick Show on WKOK.